Yep. You already know what time it is, man. It's your girl POC. Turn your radio up. Spread the word. Spread the message. You already know how we come in each and every Friday, bring you that greener, safer Philadelphia conversation. You already know you can join us by downloading the app. Go to all your stores right now on the Apple Store, Google Play Store. Download Word Radio app today. You can hear us every Friday starting at 10 a.m. or go directly to the website, wordradio.com. Click the link, take you directly where you need to be. And you can always see us on Word TV. Click that link, Facebook Live is going to take you to see my beautiful face as well as my guest's beautiful face to be locked in, bring you a jam-packed show every Friday. We want you to engage, drop your comments, questions, concerns, all that good stuff. It's a FUBU effect. We want you to be a part of everything we have going on. You already know it's a jam-packed show. We're back with our special guest, Kayla Miller. Always going to advocate for her. She's a student voice, a student leader, making sure the next generation of leaders' voices is being heard and stories being told at the same time. And she's also an advocate for Chester, Pennsylvania, and that's something that I'm I'm a huge advocate for, I should say, and I have mad love for. Shout out to the Missing Plug. They actually nominated Revive Media for Media of the Year, so I'm excited about that in Chester, Pennsylvania. So big shout out to Chester. Always showing love. But back to today's conversation, we're talking about civic engagement, community involvement, green jobs, economic impact, all that good stuff, because it's that time of year, right? We're in a space where we need to be picking a candidate. We're voting right now for the 2024 presidential election, and it's down to VP Harris and 45, right? And when we think about just the comments around climate action, sustainability, environmental justice, I wanted to really bring on a voice who I thought could really show an impact as to what it means to cast the vote in this 2024 election. So I got my homegirl, Kayla Miller, on the line with me. Kayla, please reintroduce yourself and let the people know exactly who they're listening to.
Hi, my name is Kayla Miller. I'm a student at Swarthmore College. I am currently a senior studying environmental studies and minoring in English. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and currently at Swarthmore, I lead Campus Coalition Concerning Chester, also known as C4. C4 is a student-led environmental justice organization that has been working with Circle, also known as Chester Residents Concerned for Quality Living, a Chester-based community-led organization that has been fighting against environmental racism in Chester for the last 30 years. It is led by my favorite person, Miss Uli Mayfield. And yeah, I've had a lot of fun working with them for the last couple of years.
Shout out to Miss Julie Mayfield. She was actually nominated for another PHL Sustainability Award. So I'm excited about that. And EcoWord has also been nominated for a PHL Sustainability Award. So we got a lot to be excited about, Kayla. Yes, and thank you for rocking out with us because you're not new to the show. So thank you. You know, every time I call, you're able to jump on and bring forth that community conversation from a student perspective. So I appreciate that so much. And that makes me want to jump back into our conversation as we talk about civic engagement. And that makes me want to ask this question, you know, when it comes down to C4, do you feel like it is you all's responsibility to get civically engaged, you know, to have these conversations with the community such as the one you serve in Chester? And also I wanted to mention that, you know, even though it's Chester, it still affects the surrounding counties, you know, such as Eddystone and what's another quick city?
Trainer,
Yeah. Chichester. I feel like all of that is right there and still being affected by the incinerator. So I feel like you all advocate for a lot of different zip codes as well. So I
and
wanted to put that
Swarthmore
out
as
there.
well.
Okay, you better put that out there, huh? That's
Yeah.
what you represent. But yeah, do you think like it's your responsibility as far as the C4 organization to be civically engaged to have conversations when people may be in a limbo right now as far as where to vote or how to cast a vote?
I think it's super important. I think even if, we are in a limbo about who we're voting for, there are always going to be community organizations who are doing the work, who are putting policies in place to get to, the big desks in the Oval. And so I think when I was introduced to C4, I never knew where my trash went before coming, and it was never even a thought for me. And I think that's just the case for a lot of people. We put it in the trash can and then we don't think about it. It's gone from our minds. But having Miss Uline come to one of my classes and speak to us and emphasize that there isn't a Wakanda shield over Chester, which she always says, that the air that is, being released from the toxic air that's being released from the Covanta now reworld incinerator doesn't just, linger over Chester. It affects those areas like you talked about, Eddystone, Trainer, and also Swarthmore, which is a predominantly wealthy neighborhood and community. So we as Swarthmore students are also affected by, you know, the incinerator, and anyone who like really goes to any school nearby is affected by the air as well. Air travels, that's what air does. And so I think what I always say in the back of my head, but maybe out loud, is that I expect everyone who's attending Swarthmore College or any college in the area or anyone who lives in the area to be involved in any kind of event that Circle C4 puts on, even if it's once, twice. The more the better, but I think it is our duty, as you know, our trash is burned in Chester, to be aware and to not, you know, choose ignorance over that, and to do something, even if it's a small task, to help out the organizing that's happening.
And you know, when it comes down to being a first-time voter, because most of the people who are part of C4 are students, right? And some of them are first-time voters, some of them are brand new voters, some may have voted in the local election last year, but this will be their first time voting in a national election. So, you know, when it even comes down to having that impact as a voice in the sustainability conversation or the sustainable future conversations, when people say, you know, it takes time for, you know, your voice to be heard, or it takes time for things to happen as far as the change that you want to see. As first-time voters and people who are advocating for, you know, civic engagement, how much weight or impact do you all feel like you really do have? And this is your personal opinion, Kate.
In my personal opinion, I don't know if I said this already, but I think that there isn't a magic bullet when it comes to addressing any type of injustice in this world, but specifically environmental injustice is what I'll speak to. I think that voting is a powerful tool that can show, you know, the powers that be that environmental issues, environmental justice issues are something that voters care about and that they will hold their vote over. And that's a great way to, like, you know, I think an example of this is when everyone, tons of people during in the Democratic Party voted uncommitted when President Biden was originally on the ballot because he would not take a better stance against what's happening in Palestine. I think that's an example of how voting can be utilized to get what we want. But I also think that voting can't be done in vain because, you know, voting is, you know, just, I guess, validating some of the systems that we have that aren't really designed to help people, but are really designed to like keep the world functioning how it is. And so that's why it's so important for organizing to also come into the mixture. I think we, Ms. Julian always says there's power in people. The slogan is that there's power in numbers, but there's power in people. There's power in people that are educated. There's power in people that care. I think the environmental justice movement is a movement that is led by emotions, which is often seen as a negative thing, like, oh, we should be rational, we should be factual. But I think emotion, storytelling, people-to-people interaction is how you get people involved and to care and to really harness their power. And I think I've seen that a lot with, and maybe we'll talk about this later, but just with like the youth specifically, Circle has a youth group called Choices. And over the summer, the Choices group met in Uno's Pizzeria, and there was like 20 or 30 of them there. And it was just amazing to see that many young people who walked from their homes, because yeah, they had to walk, to meet and
That is beautiful.
to discuss environmental justice. And that I wasn't here for the summer, but I got to be on Zoom when they were talking about it. And it was so amazing to see. And I think that happened because from those young people watching the way Miss Zuline works, the way Circle works, and seeing people who live in their communities and who are from their communities be able to actually harness change and make things happen. I think climate change and our like environmental degradation has left us all feeling a lack of agency in so many ways. And so we do get defeated often, which is fine because, you know, it is heavy stuff, but I think having especially young people see that their voices can be harnessed to do something to affect things in their environment, which is broadly defined, specifically gun violence. And then the kids also mentioned the incinerator that's owned by ReWorld now. Seeing them like table and talk to people and educate other people has been so powerful. So I think, like I said before, there's power in people, there's power in organizing and being a part of a community for that organization that's well trusted and well intentioned and has been doing the work. And so I think people feeling like there's nothing we can do is kind of a cop out. There's a privilege in feeling like there's nothing you can do because there is stuff you can be doing.
But what about the it takes time part, right? So like let's
I
say
think
you don't
yes.
see it in the term where you voted for, right? So you get those 4 years, and for example, like President Joe Biden, he had 4 years and we didn't see much happen in those 4 years. But you know, the conversation is that it continues to take time for you to see the impact or the change that you want to see. So when it comes down to the environmental justice, overall, we have to know that it's going to take time to clean up all the mess that has been done over hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of years, right? So to see that impact and to see that change, how can we continue to help or push your generation to understand that your vote still does matter in a space where you still need to give time and grace to see the change that you want to see?
I think that's a tricky question. I don't know if I have the direct answer right now because I do agree that it takes time, and even from like being involved with Circle, Miss Celine has talked about like you're chipping away at, a rock and trying, you're getting small wins and small wins and small wins. And I've seen that, and I've seen even in my 4 years here, when I originally came to SWAT, the incinerator had a 10-year contract, and then now, right now, it has a 3-year contract, and now the county is working on finding a way to divert trash to the landfill. And I think they like had a win where like they've said that they're going to divert like thousands of tons of trash to a landfill rather than the incinerator. So even in the
Awesome.
4 years I've been here, my freshman year, we're still going now, but like we've seen that change happen. And I think part of that comes from people not feeling like they can see it directly. And I think that ties back into being involved with the community organization and seeing the small wins and seeing what the 30-year-old organization that said this is a win and I'm going to take it, and being able to take our wins too. Because there are a ton of like the incinerator is still there. And some might say, well, the incinerator is still there, but we've had so many small wins along the way that you would only know from like being there and being in the meetings. But I also do think it's tricky, especially when it comes to climate change stuff, because it feels like time is also of the essence. Like we don't have time to wait and to change and to see how changes happen. And I think that sometimes certain entities can utilize, well, change take time as a way to pacify people and a way to be like, I can't do this right now because, change takes time. Because so I think it's a mixture of like, it's true in some regards, but also it can be used as a pacifying method. And I think just being able to understand when you're being told change take time as a way to like shut you up, and when you're being told change takes time as a way to be like aware of the multi-generational aspect of the EJ movement and that people have been doing this for decades.
I
Tell
feel
us more.
that. I feel that. I feel that. And I definitely feel you on the pacifying method of doing things for sure. And we have seen that time and time again. As you know, someone who continuously advocates for voting and push forward the agenda of everyone registering to vote and continuously getting out to vote. Our ancestors fought for our right to vote. So there's so much power in the vote. It's just making sure that we are doing the implication to make sure we're holding our elected officials responsible to do what they say they're going to do. For sure, for sure. It's particularly on a local election, a local level, for sure. And my next question I wanted to ask you about civic engagement is like when we address conversation around environmental justice, you admitted to the emotion behind it, and I agree with that, right? And I think that that's something that I also digress with when it comes to town halls, right? I love a great town hall. I love to get community in a room and have an open conversation, but sometimes there's so many different emotions that spew out of these conversations that we don't necessarily get anything done. So that, like, you know, really just burns more fire in me as far as just being in a room full of chitter and chatter, right? So when we think about environmental justice and climate action, the whole purpose is to apply action and get justice behind it. So when we talk about civic engagement, how do you think we can address it, particularly from your generation, when we talk about casting a vote, right? You know, what should be at the forefront of these conversations?
Can I get a little bit more?
Like, as far as what should we be actually addressing as far as the action and the justice that we want when we talk about environmental injustices that we seek on a daily basis, or the climate change that is affecting people from the West Coast to the East Coast every day?
I think, well, I guess a specific example that I give is when we're talking about LNG in particular, and I've been to different public hearings on that. I've read different articles about the public hearings that Circle members have attended on that. The action, the ask for that is to permanently ban all LNG permits. And the result of that was Biden's pause on LNG, the making of noise, the stating, the evidence. I did say that the environmental justice movement is led by emotion, but that doesn't mean there's absence of like reason and fact and evidence. Like everything we do is backed by research and evidence and fact. And that's an important part because people are always going to throw the economy or this and this, and we come back and we're like, well, this and this, like, but we're well-read, well-versed, we have reason. But I think that the action is what brings people to the movement and like makes them stay there. And so I think when I guess you're asking me like what should we be asking for? I guess well, we should be asking for, like in that example, a ban on LNG, and then in turn that resulted in the pause on LNG. Does that answer your question? I think I might not.
No, it does answer my question, but I'm going to follow up with you, right? So when it comes down to the casting of the ballot this time around, right? As far as being civic engaged and having that conversation, what do you think we should be pressing as far as the issues,
Okay.
from your generation standpoint?
Oh, okay. A lot. I think there's issues on so many different levels. I think a lack of regard for people is the common thread across that. I think the Justice 40 initiative was something that Biden put through, and that's a good example of like the government acknowledging the disproportionate effects of environmental hazards on EJ communities. And I think just a continuance of that, I don't want environmental justice to be something that is like flashed by administrators and then not actually done anything about. I
Totally
think what
agree.
we be asking for is these are your policies. Yes, you laid these out, but what are you doing? Because I think we're all, a lot of people are confused. Everyone's like, what are Kamala's policies? What are Kamala's policies? And they're on her website. But it's still like, okay, what does this look like in action? Because Biden came in and he told us, okay, we're gonna address climate change, we're gonna do this. And he didn't start doing that until the end of his term. And well, he did it in the bipartisan and the Inflation Reduction Act, yes. But I think what I crave and what I think most people crave is just like, what are you specifically doing in regards to helping people? Like, what can you, and I guess and specifically with environmental justice, what are you specifically doing for communities? How, what is an example of like how a community once existed under a previous administration, how your administration has significantly helped? And I think we just want to specificity. We don't want any more like general, like vague claims of like fighting. Just be specific and just point to. And I think when asked about, and especially when you brought up Kamala saying that she was still pro-fracking in Pennsylvania, where that's still like a heavily debated thing, and like
Yeah.
even that would have been a good time for her to be like, because it's like, girl, you just said you're pro-environment, but you're fracking. So I think a lack of be specific. I can't believe I have to keep asking for this. Like, stop flip-flopping. Just
Yeah.
make a stance so we can then attack that stance or support that stance, I guess, is what I'm
No.
working for.
I definitely agree with you on that. And we got about 5 minutes left. Kaylin, again, I thank you so much for tapping in with us here at EcoWord and having this conversation around civic engagement as we are, almost there. We're under 100 days when it comes down to this election 2024. And I wanted to talk a little bit about climate change specifically, as far as just the elected officials, or the people that we are electing as elected officials. What are your thoughts on, these two candidates, particularly when it comes down to having a clear plan? Do you think that either one of them have a clear plan or has addressed a clear plan when it comes down to climate change?
No, I don't think either of them have. I think that, well, I guess I will give Trump, he has said that he doesn't believe in climate change. So I guess that is a plan in a way he doesn't want to address it. Again, Kamala has been very flip-floppy. I don't think that there has been a solid plan addressed on climate change and how we're addressing that. Again, like I said before, I think it's something that only gets whipped out to like get people, like get a Gen Z voter base and be like, oh yes, I said the word climate change and I acknowledge it, so you should vote for me, rather than actual like, what are you going to be doing? What are you going to be enforcing via states or like anything like that. So no, I don't think either of them have been clear. I think they've been flip-floppy, as you said.
And do you think that when it comes down to the decision on climate action and climate change, that it should be more state by state case versus a federal conversation around how we should implement these new policies around climate action?
I think we need, in my personal opinion, I think we need a federal understanding of how we're dealing with climate change, environmental justice issues, everything. Because if each state is doing different things, then we're not all going to be working towards a common goal of like climate resolution,
Well, I
sustainability.
asked that question because each state has its own effects from the climate change that we're
That's
doing.
true.
Yeah.
That's true. But I think it can be positive in like when instances where it's like a state takes it upon themselves to implement positive things regarding climate change or addressing climate change, it can be positive and that can be beneficial. I'm not taking that away. But I think if we're going to be like actively working towards it, the federal government should have a positive and a blanket statement. This is how we're going to, deal with the effects of climate change, as a model for most states. It's like, What's an example of a state that has a good climate? Sure. I guess I'll use Texas as an, like, Texas is doing their own thing all, whenever it comes to like climate stuff and whatever. So like if
I think
Texas does.
Colorado is too. Colorado's doing an amazing job when it comes to cleaning up the state, and they actually have generated so much revenue from going green and using the sustainability tactic.
And I think maybe the federal government can learn from the states that are doing positive things and like working towards climate solutions. But I think we should have, yeah, a blanket understanding of like this is our climate plan. And yes, states should be doing things unique to their communities because every community is different in every state. And of course, the state will have a better understanding of that. But I think there should be some type of like this is how we're moving from the federal government. But that's my, I've never been asked that before, so that's my question.
I'm glad you were able to, transparently answer that question. I appreciate you, yo, for sure. And Kayla, this is my last question. Thank you for rocking out with us this morning. As we're moving towards this 2024 election season, I keep saying it because it's a thing. It's right here. I promise we're gonna wake up and it's going to be November. But when it comes down to advocating and encouraging more people from your generation, more new voters, more voters from your generation to get out, first time voters to get out and participate in, this election season. Just in your opinion, what should we be saying? How should we be approaching the conversation, to new voters and first time voters such as yourself?
I think that no one should be told how to think. I think people react really negatively when they're told how to think. And so my approach, as I said a little bit before, is always education and presenting information and letting people decide what to do. I think the like when you go into a voting poll and you cast your or you go into a voting stall and you cast your ballot, you don't have to tell anyone what you did in that stall. It's supposed to be an individual. You make that decision by yourself. And I think the conversation of voting becoming so public and like contested is making it difficult for people to feel like, am I a good person? Well, this is a nuanced topic, but I think that education is always important. And I think people educating themselves, but also being open to conversations with other people. And I don't know, I think it's tricky. I think always knowing that your work doesn't begin at the ballot and nor does it start and nor does it end at the ballot. And so cast your vote, yes, do whatever you have to do, but make sure you're still engaging with local communities, community organizations, being involved in the day-to-day tasks that they need, and making sure that you are also making yourself aware of the other organizations that are happening outside in different states and learning from them and learning how, like you were bringing up, different states are doing different things. And I think I don't know. My basis for voting is just like voting should be followed by or preceded by education. And that is, yeah, that's all I have to say.
I appreciate you, Kayla. Thank you so much again for joining us here on Equal Word. Thank you for rocking out. Thank you for having a civic engagement conversation as we get people more civically involved in this 2024 election season. Please shout yourself out once again, how they can find you. Give them your college email. You never know who's listening, who can, reach out to you because you are a well-educated, well-rounded student here in the state of Pennsylvania. And you're always looking for a job, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Can't have too many jobs.
Yeah.
But definitely shout yourself out, Kayla, and I appreciate you for rocking out with me.
Okay, I have a couple things to say. Firstly, go to Circle's website, ChesterPAEJ.com or .org if that one doesn't work. Join their Circle meetings. They have a meeting every other Thursday, 7 p.m. over Zoom. Their Instagram is Chester_EJ. Next, C4's Instagram is chester.c4, so follow both those Instagrams to keep up to date with what we're doing. My name is Kayla Miller. I go to Swarthmore College. My email address is kmiller7@swarthmore.edu. Had a great time talking to you, POC. Thank you for having me.
No doubt. I hope you have a great weekend and I appreciate all that you do and have a great fall semester as you're headed into your senior year. I appreciate you always, Taylor. Thank you so much. We'll be right back after this quick commercial break. Man, it's your girl, POC. Eco Word, Eco Word, Eco Word every Friday starting at 10 a.m. And we'll be right back. Turn your radios up.